The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week is Parashas B'Shalach. Because we read Parashas B'Shalach on the Shabbos, so it is known as Shabbos Shira, Shabbos of the Shira of the song, because there we have the very, very great song of Boz Yoshe Meisha Bnei Yisrael, which Meisha and the Bnei Yisrael sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they went out of Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim, right after the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, which was the Gemar Shikra, which was the finality of the freedom from Egypt. And many, many years ago, I started to give a series of shiurim on the Wednesday nights, on the different psukim, on each posuk, each sentence of the shira. And I think I've given through the years 5 shiurim. And I got up to the last few psukim. This evening I would like to finish the last few psukim of the Shira. If anyone is interested in the past ones, they are all in our tape department. So we're on the Posuk Tessai, the 16th Posuk, which states as follows. This Meisha and the people were singing, Tipul Lalehem, a morsel of a fachad. Let terror and dread fall upon them. Biglol zeracho yidmu ko'odem. By the greatness of your arm, let them be still as a stone. Ad yavor amcho Hashem, ad yavor amzu koniso. Until your nation of God has crossed over, until this nation has crossed over which you have acquired. Again, let terror and dread fall upon them. This was referring to the nations of the world, to various nations of the world. Because in the pasuk before, the two psukim before, it states as follows, Shomo amim mirgozum, that the nations of the world, or the nations, heard and trembled. They heard what took place and they trembled. And fear took hold of those who dwelled in the Philistines. Oz nivalu alufe Edom. And those from the nations, the kings, the king of Edom, they became panicked. Yehaz Ele Moab, Yehazema Iroad. And the great giants of Moab, another nation, fear and terror grabbed hold of them. Namogu kol Yeshve Kenoan, and all of the inhabitants of Canaan melted with fear. So in the psukim before, the Torah refers to the great fear which was cast upon the nations. And here the Meisha is carrying on, he's continuing. Tipul aleihem a morsel v'fachad, that let fall upon them great fear and dread. Bigdol zeracho yidmu ko'oven, with the greatness of your arm you have made them silent as a stone. Now the Shira deals with a number of sections. First it deals with a section of the Churban and the Hashmodas Ha'eiv, with the destruction of the enemy, namely the Mitzrim, the Egyptians. And this was all Derech Pella, through great miracles. As it starts to say, Sus v'reichvei, Rama v'ayom, He took the horse and the rider and cast them into the sea. Then it starts to deal also with Hatzolos Yisrael Derech Pela, that the saving, the redeeming of Yisrael, all through great miracles. Now it goes on to add to that. And first it's going to speak on the Hashmodes Shara Avim, on the destruction of other nations that in the future are going to stand up against Israel. And then, it will, in its finality, it will speak on the Tzadis, on the ultimate fulfillment, objective of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Israel out of Egypt, and that was to bring them into Eretz Israel and to the Beis Hamikdash. So this is the pattern of the Shira. Again, first, it starts to deal with Sus V'reich V'Rama V'Yom, where he cast the rider and the horse into the sea, the destruction of the Egyptians, and then the great salvation of Klal Yisrael. And now it starts to deal with the destructions of other nations, which in the future are going to stand up against Israel. And then the ultimate fulfillment, why this was all done, to bring Klal Yisrael to Bias Ha'oretz, Eretz Yisrael, and Beis Hamikdash. So the psukim that we're dealing with now is referring to the nations which are going to stand up against Klal Yisrael. And then that Moshe said, he gave a prayer, Tipel Aleihem Emosa V'Fachad, let fear and trepidation fall upon them. And with the greatness of your hand, they should become silent as stones. The Shira explicitly mentions five nations. Firstly, it refers to Ha'amim, nations in general. Shomu Amim Yirgozum, that the nations heard. Then it refers to Peloshes, the Philistines, Chilocha Yeshve Peloshes, great fear was cast upon them. Then it refers to Edom, that's the nation of Esav, Oz Nivalu Alufei Edom. Then it refers to Moab, Ele Moab Yochazam Oroad. Moab was the, there were two nations, Moab and Ammon. They were the nations which were born to the daughters of Lot, through their union with Lot, their father. And then it states, Nomogu kol yeshvi Kenan, let the inhabitants of Canaan, they should melt away. So we're referring here to five. Why dafka these five? So first, in regards to the nations in general, Shomo Am Yogozum, the Mechilta says, in Parsha Yudalit, Kibun Shomo Ha'umas She'ovad Parai, once the nations heard that Parai was destroyed, the Chelai and his great armies were destroyed, Biyam, in the sea, Umalchus Mitzrayim Botlo, and Malchus, the whole empire of Egypt, disintegrated. This was something. Egypt was the great empire of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished and destroyed all of their Avedis Zorah, all of their idolatry. Hischilo Meraksin, they started to tremble. So this affected the nations in general. Further, Kimin Sheshama Umais Shahakorish Borhu Magbin Karmeshal Yisrael. Since the nations of the world heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has uplifted, not only he destroyed Egypt, but he uplifted the Keren, he uplifted the crown of Yisrael, Umachnison Laoritz, and he's taking them into Eretz Yisrael, Meragzin, they became fearful, they became broken, and this is because of the Aninus al Yisrael. They couldn't take the greatness of Yisrael. The nations of the world are the enemies of Klal Yisrael. They have two problems. One is that they fear Yisrael, Secondly, it becomes a great sorrow, great anguish to them when they see Klal Yisrael uplifted. So therefore, firstly, they trembled when they heard what happened to Parai and his great armies, and Egypt, and all of their gods. And then also, they were full of anguish when they saw the keren, the crown of Israel, being uplifted. Another reason also, given Shiyotsu Yisrael min Hayom, once Klal Yisrael was coming out of the sea, Konas Amolek es kol umeis olam. There was this nation of Amolek. Amolek was a grandson of Esav. And Amolek had, they were mechutzavim. They were very, very brazen. And v'leyore elekim, they had no fear of Hashem. And they went, and they gathered up all of the nations of the world, ubo v'nilcham im Yisrael, and they said, come, and we will go to war against this nation. In other words, even after, this was the great hate, the great sin of Amalek, that after everybody trembled, still he wanted to fight. So he went, and he spoke to all of the nations, and he got a big gathering, a big following, and they were prepared to go and fight against Klal Yisrael. So at that time, Moshe foresaw this. So he said a tefillah, he said a prayer. He said, Shomo amim yirgozum, tipla aleihem emosev afachat. Let the nations be stricken with fear. Let fall upon the nations great terror. And domamam kulin ke'evet. And they all became still and silent. All except Amalek became still and silent like a stone. That's why it states, he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to silence them like a stone with the strengthness of your hand. And this is why we find Vayove Amalek, it was Amalek alone that came to fight against Klal Yisrael. The rest became too stricken with fear and they backed off. So this is in regards to the Amin, the nations in general, Shomo Amin. Now we have that the Shira mentions the Piloshes, the Philistines in particular. Why them? Chilochash yesh ve'Piloshes. So the Mechilta says, Given Shishama Piloshes Yisrael nichnosin la'oretz, when the Philistines heard that Klal Yisrael is coming out of Egypt and they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Omru, ein lahem derech b'chol mokom elo aleinu. The only way you can get to Eretz Yisrael is through the land of the Philistines. The land of the Philistines were a bordering land to Eretz Yisrael. And they said, now they will come through us, v'hakshav im boim, u'beizizin es nichosenu, and they will consume all of our property, and they will destroy our land. So this is why they in particular were stricken with fear. Then the Shira states, Alufei Edom, the kings of Edom. Edom was the nation of Esav. Why them? So the Mechilta asks, Im teme sheboim liyorish artsom, if you say because they were also afraid that Klal Yisrael will come and consume their land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we're not allowed to. When Klal Yisrael later on was to go into Eretz Yisrael and he said you are now coming near the land of Esav, do not start up with them because the land was not yours. This land is going to be a Yerushalayim Esav. It will be inheritance to Esav. So why were they so upset? Two reasons. Firstly, Mibnei Aninus. They were upset because they saw the glory of Klal Yisrael, like the others. And secondly, Omru boim le'ere meriva shesotam avinu es aviham, shenema vayishtem Esav es Yaakov. That our father hated Yaakov, and he tried to kill him. This was Esav. So they were afraid now that Yisrael is coming to take revenge for all of that. So therefore they were stricken with fear. Then, the next one is mentioned, Ele Moav. These were the giants of Moav. Why were they afraid? The Mechilta says, "Imtema boim liyorish atzenu." Maybe they were afraid because Klal Yisrael would come and consume their land. No, because when Klal Yisrael went near their land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Al totzer es mo'av." Do not harm them. This land will not belong to you. Elo mipneo aninus. Also, they were mitzvahed. They were suffering because of the glory of Israel. And further, heim boim akshav la'ere meriva shebein ovinu laviyem. Their father also had a fight with our father, because their father, their ancestor, was Lot, and it states vayhi riv bein rei mikne Avram v'rei mikne Lot, that when Avram came into Eretz Yisrael and he had great multitudes of herds, and Lot also, so there became a great quarrel and fight between the shepherds of Avraham and the shepherds of Lot as to who should have the land. So they thought, now Yisrael will come and take revenge. And then finally there was Canaan. Namogu kol yeshvei Canaan. Who were the Canaanim? The Canaanim were the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael at that time. And they were called Canaan. They all had different names. One's name was Canaan, but they were all called Canaan because they were the sons of Canaan. Canaan was a grandson of Noah, the son of Chom. And these were all direct descendants, and they had conquered Eretz Yisrael. And now, they trembled. Nabogu, they melted with fear. Why? Because they said, "Kivin shishama yeshve Canaan shomar akodesh bochel lemeisha rakmi ori ha'amim v'chulu ki im achrim tachrimo." HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a special decree on these seven nations. He hated these seven nations because they were the worst nations in the world. And the Mechilta tells us that the worst nation in the world was Egypt. But that's up to the seven nations. The seven nations were even worse than them. They were murderers, and they were rapists, full of incest. And they were idolaters. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when you go into that nation, you are not allowed to take any captives and use them to serve you. Not may orim arachekes. From the far away places you can, but not from those. But hachrem tachrimam, you shall totally destroy them. Actually, the Chazal bring that when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, so he gave them a chance to go away. He left one side open. And he says, those of you that want to run away, run away. But those of you who want to fight, then we will fight to the finish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leisechaya kol deshoma. Those who want to fight and they refuse to leave the land, the Sechaya kol neshoma, then you shall not leave one survivor. So there was a special decree on those seven nations. So they said like this. They said, Eilu ve'eilu lo hayam achrivin elam ameinam umin nikseham. All of the other nations, they only had to worry about their properties and their belongings. Avaleinu einan boim ele lechaleseinu. But to us, they're coming to destroy us. Ul yoresh es arzenu, and to inherit our land. And therefore, namogu, and namogu ein namigel namisa means they melted with fear. And then it states, this is what we find when Yeshua sent Baragli. He sent spies into Canaan. Canaan was Eretz Yisrael, was to become Eretz Yisrael, and he sent them into Yericho, Jericho, and Yeshua base, Pasuk Tesh. So they came, the spies came, to Rahab, to this woman, Rahab. And she said, Matem al anoshim, yodati ki nosan Hashem lochem es ha'oretz. He says, I know that Hashem has given you the land. V'chi noflo emaschem oleinu. And the fear and trepidation from you has fallen upon us. V'chi namogu kol yesh ve'ores mipneichem. and all of the people who live in this land have melted, use that same namogu, have melted with fear. Ki shomano es asher hovish Hashem es mei yamshut mibnechem, because we have heard how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has dried up the whole Red Sea before you, b'tzeischem b'mitzroyim, when you went out of Egypt. Ba'asher asisem lishnei malchei amayri, after the crossing of the sea, they went in to the land of Eber Ayadin, which we'll speak about in a few minutes. And there they fought with two great giants, the two great giants of Amori. And Moshe destroyed them. And this was Sichon and Og. Asher be'Eber Ayadin, l'Sichon u'la'og, asher ha'achram demesom. And Israel destroyed them. Panishma va'imas levaveinu. And we heard this, and our hearts have melted with fear. And the spirit of man no longer can stand up before you. She said, because we know that God is the God of the entire world, the heaven and the earth. So, this was Rochav. So, we see that this is what took hold of the nations of the world. The Maral goes into this a little deeper, where he says that at this time Klal Yisrael acquired great new levels, like we'll speak about just now. And acquiring these new levels and becoming the Amcha Hashem, the nation of Hashem, so now there became great resistance between they and the nations of the world, because they represent two ends of the pole. Because these nations were the great nations of Aveda Zora, of idolatry. And Klal Yisrael is now rising up to become the Amcha Hashem, the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to represent Hashem, which is the total antithesis of the idolatry. So they're developed now, at this point, a great Isnagdus, a great resistance and a great antithesis between the two nations, between Israel and these nations. And there, and these five nations in particular, we find they always were the very far, the antithesis of Israel. For example, Edom, that's Esav. And the sages tell us, Halocha, Esav Seine Es Yaakov. There will always be hatred between Esav and Yaakov. Plishtim, we always find that there was war between the Philistines and Klal Yisrael during the days of the Shoftim, during the days of Shimshon, of Samson, during the days of David, of Shaul, and of David. Moab, and also his brother Ammon, we find there was a great antithesis between they and Israel, because it was on them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, LeYovei, Nikal Hashem Ad Olam, Ador Asiri, that never take converts from these nations and let them marry into the heart of Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu distanced them from Yisrael. And same with Canaan. These were the nations that occupied Israel, the Eretz Israel. Like we mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed total annihilation on them. Then the Shira continues. Maisha says, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem Ad Yavor Amzukon Isho, which means until your nation of God has crossed over, until this nation has crossed over, which you have acquired, Amzukonisho. It would seem that this crossing over is referring to the crossing over of the Yamsuf of the Red Sea. That's the simple meaning. However, if you look into the Targum on this Pasuk, so you see, actually we have a question. Because why does it say it twice? Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem Ad Yavor Amzukon Isho, until they have crossed over, until they have crossed over. The Targum and this Pasuk says Adi Yabur Amo Hashem Yas Anona Adi Yabur Amo Denan Diporato Yasha Dono.
Until this nation has crossed the river of Arnon, and until this nation has crossed the river of the Jordan. Rashi doesn't bring this, he merely says Kitargumai. He just refers to the Targum. So it comes out that we're not referring here to the crossing of the Red Sea, but we're referring here to a future crossing, to two future crossings. The crossing of the river Arnon and the crossing of the river of Jordan. Now what does all of this mean? The Maral explains as follows. We've already spoken about the crossing of the Red Sea. And that was the first level they acquired. There they acquired the Shichrur Mimitzrayim, to become free from the Abdus and the Gerus and the Inoy, to become free from all of the slavery and affliction of Egypt. But now they had further levels to acquire. And these further levels to acquire was going to bring them even to higher madrigas, higher levels. They had the Arnon River to cross. What was so significant about that? The Torah tells us that when they crossed the river Arnon, they came into the land of Emori, which was the land of the two kings, Sihon Melech Amori and Og Melech Haboshim. And there, these nations went out to fight against them. They were mighty and terrifying nations. And Moshe went, and he defeated Og Melech Haboshim and Sihon Melech Amori. And all of this land fell to Israel. And this land, which was a very, very fertile land, was later to fall into the hands of Reuben and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Manasseh, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, because they had great herds, and they asked Moshe Rabbeinu if they could rather have their inheritance here. This is the land which is known as Eber HaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan, because they had not yet come to the Jordan. This is the east bank of the Jordan, not the west bank. And Israel is on the west bank of the Jordan. This is on the other side. Used to be known as Transjordan. This land was not Eretz Israel proper, which was called Nachlas Oves. It was not the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. But, nevertheless, since it was conquered as they were going into Eretz Israel, it became annexed as part of Klal Yisrael, and it took on the sanctity, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Trumas and Maisras, almost all of the halachas which are in force in Eretz Yisrael, all of the agricultural laws of Trumas and Maisras and so forth and so on, are also in Eber HaYarden Min HaTorah. There are a few slight exceptions, but very slight. And it became sanctified like the land of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why Moshe agreed to Reuben and God and Manasseh that they could have their inheritance there instead of in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise he would never agree to such a thing. When they crossed the Arnon, and they went to war, this was all Derech Pela, or Esefela, this was through the same miracles, similar miracles, that Klal Yisrael crossed the Red Sea. So here, Klal Yisrael rose to greater heights. They were becoming the Amcho Hashem, the nation of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing them they are Lemala Min HaTeva. They are not merely thrown to the chance of the physical elements, but the physical elements can be totally against them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts them up to himself beyond and above the physical elements. So they came to a higher level in order to enter into this land. So that was the first Adyav, Adyavar Amcho Hashem. And what was the second Adyavar Amzuko Niso? The second Adyavar crossing was when they came to the Jordan, the Yarden. There again they crossed, and with great miracles. And there Yeshua had to face 31 kings. Not two, but 31. He had to destroy 31 kings. These were of the seven nations. Actually, there were more kings there. Also, the Chazal asked, there were seven nations there. Why were there 31 kings? So the Chazal answer that Eretz Yisrael was the most beautiful land in the whole world. We once calculated what its beauty was, because it states that Egypt was the most beautiful land in the world next to Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah tells us that the worst of Eretz Yisrael, which was Hebron, because Hebron was very rocky and mountainous, the worst of Eretz Yisrael was seven times more beautiful than the best of Egypt. So this means that Egypt was like a slum compared to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the worst was seven times more beautiful. We explained then that means the Swiss Alps would be a slum. So you can imagine what the best was. So because of that, it states there wasn't a king in the world who was worth his salt that hadn't managed to buy up some land, just like Lahavdul, Elef Habdolis. They like to buy in the Cape the nobility. There wasn't a king that hadn't bought up land in Eretz Yisrael and had a summer palace there. That's how the Chazal explained that when Yeshua came into the land, he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said seven nations, there's 31 kings here. So he had to contend with all of them. When they came to here, again there were great miracles. So there was another crossing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted Klal Yisrael even higher, because now they were coming to the level, not of Eivor HaYarden, of the Transjordan, but Eretz Yisrael Atzma, Eretz Yisrael itself. So this is what it's meant. Ad Yavar Amcho Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzuko Niso. Until this nation has crossed, and the Targum says the Arnon, Ad Yavar Amzuko Niso, and this nation crossed again the Yarden, I have acquired them. I have uplifted them to myself. Actually, there's a morale in another place where he writes that he proposes that one of the reasons why we are called Ivrei is because of the crossing of the sea and the crossing of these rivers. Because that's how we gained our great level of being the Am Hashem. Now, what happened after that? We reached this level. So now we're ready even for a greater level. And that's what the Shira in Pasuk Yud-Zayin, in Pasuk Yud-Zayin states. Tivi Emai v'sita Emai b'hanach losuka. Moshe said, bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. The Chazal ask here, why does he say bring them and plant them? He's referring to, why does he say I will bring them and I will plant them? Here Moshe, it states, subconsciously was prophesizing, even though he wasn't aware what he was prophesizing, that he will not be the one to bring Klal Yisrael to the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's inheritance. This refers to Har HaBayis, the mountain of the Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim. And later on, we have where Moshe sinned by the Meriva, by the waters, and was decreed on Moshe that he will die in the desert and Yeshua will bring them in. So here, unwittingly, he said, Tiva Ema, he was referring to someone else. should bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. And where is that? Machon de Shiftecho for Alto Hashem, the place of your dwelling, which you, God, have made. Migdosh Hashem, Kenenu Yodecho, the sanctuary of Hashem, which you have made with your own very hands. So here Maisha now was being mispalel that they've come out of Egypt, they've gone through the sea, they will cross the Arnon into the Malchi Amiri Eg Melech Haboshim and Melech Sichem, and they will cross the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. So now bring them Bahar Nachlosecho to the mountain of your inheritance, Machon de Shiftecho Palto Hashem, to the place of your dwelling, which you, God, have made. Migdosh Hashem Kenenu Yudecho, the sanctuary which you have made with your own very hands. Actually, Kenenu Yudecho, Yudecho is a very significant word here, because the Gemara brings Godel Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdosh is so great because it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it with his hands, plural. By the, we have psukim that state that when he created the world, Shemayim Va'oretz, he made it with one hand. But his Beis HaMikdosh, he made with both hands. The Mechilta brings, says, We mentioned here two phrases. Kinyan, amzu koniso. A kinyan means an acquisition. And we mentioned here nachalo. Nachalo means an inheritance. Behar nachlos, behar nachlosecho. The Mechilta brings in Perek Tezayin, at the end of Perek Tezayin, and then again in Perek Yudzayin. It says, arba nikrou kinyan. Four are referred to in the Torah as an acquisition. Yisrael nikru kinyan, as an acquisition of Hashem. Yisrael, the nation of Yisrael, is called the kinyan. Shenemar amzu koniso, as it states here, this nation I have acquired. Shemayim va'oretz nikru kinyan, heaven and earth are called kinyonim, as it states, konei shemayim va'oretz. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the konei shemayim va'oretz. He, that's his. Beis HaMikdosh Nikro Kinyan. His Beis HaMikdosh is called a Kinyan, as it states in Tehillim, Ein Ches Har Ze Konsu Yomeinu. And HaTorah Nikreis Kinyan. And Torah is called a Kinyan, as it states, Hashem Konini Yereishis Darkon. Yavo Yisrael Shinikro Kinyan. Let Yisrael come, which are called a Kinyan. Let them come La'oretz, to the land Shinikreis Kinyan, which is also called an acquisition to Hashem. Be'ivnu Beis HaMikdosh, and let them build there the Beis HaMikdosh Uhu Kinyan, which is an acquisition to Hashem. B'schus Shel Torah, and the schus of Torah Shinikreis Kinyan. Let Yisrael come, who are known as a Kinyan of Hashem, to Eretz Yisrael, which is known as the Kinyan of Hashem, and there build the Beis HaMikdosh, which is called his kinyan, his acquisition, through the schus of the Torah, which is called his kinyan. Lekach nema, therefore it states, amzu konisho. This is the nation I have acquired. What is the significance of a kinyan? An acquisition, a special acquisition, this denotes something which is very dear and very mekusher, very bound to the person. Means a strong acquisition that cannot be torn away. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Dalit kinyonim yeshli." In the world, there are four things that I hold very precious and close to me, which cannot be torn away. And one is Shemayim Vaoretz. See, actually, really, I think it should state Eretz Yisrael. One is Eretz Yisrael. The other is Beis HaMikdosh. Yeah, Shemayim Vaoretz. The other is, excuse me, Shemayim Vaoretz. The other is Beis HaMikdosh, Eretz Yisrael. No, Beis HaMikdosh, Yisrael, and Torah. These four. Now, we said there was another phrase, Nachlo, Nachlosecho. That means an inheritance. The Mechilta says, Baha Nachlosecho, the mountain of your inheritance, Arba Nikra Nachlo. Four are called an inheritance. Beis HaMikdash Nikra Nachlo, the Beis HaMikdash, as it states, Bahar Nachlosecho, in this pasuk. Eretz Yisrael is called a Nachlo, as it states, Be'eretz Asher, Hashem Elokecha Nesin Lecho Nachlo. Torah is called a Nachlo, as it states, Mimaton Nachli El, and Yisrael are called a Nachlo, as it states, Ami V'Nachlosi Yisrael. Oma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yevol Yisrael Shenikro Nachlo, let Yisrael come, which are called an inheritance, to Eretz Yisrael, which is called an inheritance. Let them build the Beis HaMikdash there, which is called inheritance, and the Schus of the Torah, which is called an inheritance. What is the significance of inheritance? And that, the Maral says, Dover Shein Lo Hefzik, something which is never ending. An inheritance is never ending. It's a... trying to think of a... It is another word, a heritage. It's a heritage. A heritage is something which you inherit, but you have to give it over to the next generation. And it's never ending. And these are never ending. They come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, and Yisrael. The next pasuk, which is Yudches, states Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed. Moshe and Klal Yisrael said Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed, that Hashem should reign forever and ever. Now, the ultimate objective of all of this is the Gilui Malchus Hashem. That the Malchus Hashem, the kingship of Hashem, should be revealed through the entire world. But this is impossible as long as the enemy is in the world, the enemies of Hashem. Because you have, who are the enemies of Hashem? The Avdei Aveiros Zarah, the idolaters, the Rishoyim, the wicked. Because this is the antithesis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's law. King rules with his law. Kodesh Baruch Hu rules with his Torah. If you Aveda Zorah, this represents other kings. So therefore, first must come the annihilation of the evil from the world. And that we had. That was the annihilation of the Egyptians. And the terror cast on the other nations. And the annihilations that will take place of them. But then, it's still not possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for a king to reveal his kingship. Even if there are no enemies in the world, because ain't melech b'leam, the Gemara says, you can't have a king without a nation. If a king would come and he would destroy all the people, he has destroyed himself. Who's he a king over? So therefore, there has to be a nation which will recognize and serve the king. So from here came the uplifting of Klal Yisrael, the Amzu Konisho. This nation I have acquired for myself. But the fulfillment of all of this in totality can only be ultimately in Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash. Because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace. Here is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the entire world. As it states that when the Melech HaMashiach will come, the Noru Kol HaAmim, then all of the nations will come up to the Beis HaMikdash. Shai LeMelech. They will all come and bring tribute to the Beis HaMikdash. Or Zu Beis Tfilah L'Chol HaAmim. My house will be recognized as the house of prayer for all of the nations. So therefore, only at this point they sing Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reign forever and ever. And also the Chazal said, notice they didn't say Hashem Molach, he reigns. They said he will reign in future tense, because this cannot be even then. This can only be after all of the evil is destroyed. This will be the job for the Melech LeMashiach at the next Beis HaMikdash, and after the Beis HaMikdash is built. And this is why that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when we hear a bracha, we answer Amen. But the Gemara in Bracha says that in the Beis HaMikdash, when they heard a bracha, they didn't answer Amen. But they said, Baruch Shem Feid Malchusei Le'olam Va'ed, that let, blessed is the honor of his empire, of his kingship, forever and ever, because that can only be revealed in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And therefore the Gemara brings that when the Melech HaMashiach comes and we return to our land, Gimel Mitzvahs Nitzavinu Bebi'as Oretz, we will be commanded in three mitzvahs, three special mitzvahs. What will they be? The building of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of Amalek, the appointment of a king, crowning of a king. These three mitzvahs we can only have when we all come back to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that blessing. So the Gemara says, what is the Seder? What is the order of these three mitzvahs? The Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says the order is first you appoint a king. Then you go to war against Amalek. Then you build the Beis HaMikdash. Why in that order? Because you have to appoint a king first to lead us in war against Amalek. So therefore we must first appoint the king. You have to destroy Amalek first before there can be a Beis HaMikdash, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, his kingship, cannot be in totality as long as the Oyev, as long as the enemy and the idolaters and the atheists are in the world, because they constantly destroy his Malchus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Yod Al Keis Kor, my arm, my throne and my name cannot be known in the world as long as they are here. So we have to destroy Amalek. In order to destroy Amalek, we have to have a king to lead us in battle against them. So first we must destroy, first we must make a king. Then we must go to war against Amalek. And then we build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why always it states, Bohoya Bayimahu, and that day Hashem will be one, and his name will be one. And it's interesting because when we say the Shira every morning, we add to it right afterwards, we say Va'olu Meishim Bahar Tzion Lishpat Es Har Esav Va'isal Hashem Hamelucha, that when the Moshim, the Melech HaMashiach, will come, and we will go up to Har Tzion, and there Esav will be judged and he will be punished, and then the kingship will belong to Hashem. This is for the Maral says it's for this reason. Now, if one would look at the Shira, it would seem that it ends here. Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed, we've come, we've gone, we've gotten out of Egypt, we destroyed Egypt, we went through the Yam with great miracles, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted it up to be a nation built Tivius above and beyond the elements of the world. And then we crossed over, we speak of the crossing over of the Arnon into the Malchei Sichin Ve'amayri, Ever HaYarden, and then the going into Eretz Yisrael, crossing over the Jordan, and then building the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'er, Hashem should reign forever and ever. So it seems that we have finished the Shira. There's another psukim that seems totally out of place, and it reads as follows: Ki vasus pare berichpay uforosho bayom. When the horses of Parai and the chariots and the riders came into the sea, by Yoshev Hashem aleihem es mehayom, and Hashem returned the water on them. Uvnei Yisrael holcha ve'yabosh b'seichayom, and Klal Yisrael went on the dry land b'seichayom. So this seems to be not part of the Shira. But then right afterwards, it states, Vatikach Miriam Anevia, Aches Aaron es Atov Biyodo. Then Miriam, the prophetess, is the sister of Aaron. She took the musical instruments in her hands, Vateitzenu kol anoshim achareho, and all of the women went after them, Bisupim u'mecheles, with instruments and with dance. Vatan lehem Miriam, and Miriam answered them, Shiur la'ashim ki goy goy sus v'reich v'roma v'yom, where Miriam sang, sing to Hashem, who is exalted over everything that's exalted. He took the horse and the rider and cast him into the sea. So we have this posuk in between here that seems to have no special significance. The fact is, it's totally repetitious. It's not telling us anything that we didn't know, because it already stated before. It says, right at the beginning of the Shira, it states, Uvnei Yisrael, Posuk Choftes. This is before the Shira. It says that in Posuk Choftes, it says, Vayishuv Amayim, the waters returned, and covered Harechev Aproshim, the chariots and the riders, Lechol Chel Parai, all of the armies of Parai, Leinishar Behem Adechot, no one, not even one was left, Bnei Yisrael Holcho Be'Abosho, and the children of Israel went into the dry land, B'Seich HaYom, in the sea. So it tells us all of that before. And the fact is, we even mention this in the Shira, in the song. It states, Sus v'reichvei roma v'yom. He took and he cast the horse and the rider in the sea. Makaveis pare v'chela yora v'yom. He took the chariots of Parai and he threw it into the sea. Mivka sholishav tuba v'yamshu. He took his great riders and captains and threw them into the sea. And so forth. So what is this pasuk doing here? And it seems to be totally repetitious. And I wouldn't say it's part of the song, yet it seems to be part of the song. The Maral says something very interesting. He says this is part of the Shira. This is, yes, definitely part of the Shira. But this is repetitious of what we began with. It is repetitious, and it's telling us nothing new. So why is it there? It's there that the song should not have an end, but again be bound up with exactly what the song began with. Why? Because we're coming to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we end, so it means there's an end to His praise. And there is no end to His praise. So there can be no end to it. And therefore, it's totally repetitious. And it totally repeats over what we started with. But that's the intention, in order that there should be no end. And from here, we learn something very deep. You know, musicians have this problem. If you listen to the most beautiful symphony, the most beautiful piece of work, so you're uplifted. You're uplifted. Orchestra of 100, 200 pieces, choir of 1,000 voices. It's enormous. What happens at the end? Silent. Well, where's all the music? Totally silent. It's not only that, it's total antithesis, because the music is the splendor of noise, and all of a sudden there's a silence. And musicians have, the great musicians, the great masters had this problem. That's why it's an art on how to end a masterpiece. If you notice, they put in great effort in ending their masterpieces. You can't just end just like that abruptly. All of a sudden there's beautiful noise and now there's nothing. It's like all of a sudden there's sun and then there's darkness. So they all try different styles of ending, and many of the endings are very, very prolonged because they don't want to end it. The fact is, there's one method to try to get where it doesn't end. And that is where the last train is played over and over, but each time softer and softer and softer, until eventually it fades away, but as if there's no end. And this is all how to overcome this problem. I remember when we were in the yeshiva, there was one particular tune we used to sing, and somehow it had no end. always went back to the first birth. It's to laugh, it was never ending. But this is what we're speaking about here. When it comes to the physical world has dimensions. Anything which has dimensions has a beginning and an end. So there's going to have to be that end. That's why when a person something in the physical world, and even music, which is a very, very high level of the physical world, there's a total void and emptiness when it's all finished. Movie's finished, it's gone, it's empty. It's like all of a sudden, darkness. The sun is gone, it's darkness. But when you're dealing with the spiritual world has no dimensions. And therefore there is no beginning and no end. Because the spiritual world comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Ani Rishon v'Ani Achron. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. There's no beginning, there's no end. This is why when one reads a good book, it's wonderful while you're reading it. You want to get to the end. But once you get to the end, you've really worked against yourself. The book is gone. But when you learn Torah, even when you finish learning, you don't feel that emptiness and that voidness. Because there's no end to the Torah. This is actually the reason of the minhag of the custom that on Simchas Torah, one of the reasons. In Simchas Torah, when we finish the Sefer Torah, we immediately start Bereishis. So this is the reason for this posuk, the one else says. It's because we're giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we end the praise, that means that we've said all the praise. And there cannot be all of the praise, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So therefore it was a shira that was never ending. And the last posuk was Kivos Sus Paray, when the horses of Paray came, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cast him into the sea and brought the waters over him, and Klal Yisrael went on the dry land. There we end with what we begin, where there is no end to it. And this is the greatness when one occupies himself. If he occupies, people are constantly driven. They are driven after something to satisfy themselves. If it's money, if it's adventure, if it's thrills or whatnot. And they cannot be satisfied because the minute it's finished, it's gone. So they have to look for something else and that will be finished and gone. But if one occupies himself with something from the next world, that's never gone. See? So that's why when one sits and learns Torah, even after he closes the Gemara, it's not gone. These are some of the meanings in these psukim, and with this shir we have finished a series that we started many years ago on all of the psukim of the Shiras Hayam, the song of the Red Sea.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shirim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.